Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With Rhys Darby and Dan Schreiber.
Well, take me down to Nob's Tech Shop and Refort Man.
Start again.
Nob's Tech Shop.
Where is this going?
Where's Nob's Tech Shop?
Nob's Tech Shop. No, that's it. That's all we need. That's perfect.
And we're back.
You know what Nob's Tech Shop is?
No.
That's your nemesis is Tech Shop.
Is it?
Yeah.
Nobs.
Yeah.
Oh.
He's your old cousin. You know, your actual nemesis, which is Zips.
Yeah.
Well, bloody Nobs has come to town and he knows what's going on. He's already opened up a tech shop.
Oh, what? I don't even have a tech shop.
Yeah.
And Nobs is coming already?
Uh-huh.
Just tell me, though, is his branding outside his shop got Nobs Tech Shop?
Yeah.
Right, and what sort of customers does he get going in there? I don't think I want that competition.
Do you know what, though? Nobs is short enough that we could probably fit it into the theme tune.
Oh.
Feels like
controversial.
That's enough.
Nobs.
That's just short enough that could fit. I'll give that a go.
Well, he's been in touch, and he gave me this intro. So I actually do have to read the whole thing because... he gave me a bit of cash on the side and he said, look, do this. I think that's why my inner strength like gave out on it, because I knew there was something up with it. Mm. I realize that he's a bad guy. He's trying to get in on your action and take over from Buttons.
Well, the truth is, if you were going to put his name in the intro instead of mine, it'd actually be quite easy, because you'd just go, the Cryptid Factor with Nobs, and it would take care of all three of you. So.
How dare you?
It's short in the theme tune quite a lot, actually. So.
Right, I'm actually definitely doing this now. I'm starting to get on Nobs' side. Well, take me down to Nobs Tech Shop and reformat me onto DVD, then hang me from your rear vision mirror till I blind you in the face. Because we're back!
Yay!
I blind you in the face!
Wow. What was that?
Is that your next watch?
Is that a Yeti call?
No, there's four sounds on it. Okay.
Oh,
you've got
cool.
Howl, snort, roar, or groan. So depending on how you guys go on the show, you'll get these sounds coming at you.
Very nice.
That was howl.
So Rhys has literally got a little sound device with four buttons on it, and it says it's called Emergency Bigfoot. Where did you get that?
I found it at Real Groovy Records. Theo found it.
Oh, my God.
He said, you'll need that for your show, Dad.
Yeah, particularly the last button, groan.
Yeah, that's the one that I'll be using for you, I think, quite a bit. You got a snort there.
I'm the guy that should have buttons.
You're getting a groan for that. Here we go.
What a start to a show.
We're definitely back.
We're definitely back. I've got competition now all of a sudden from a knob.
Yeah, Knobs is in town, baby. You wait till you meet him.
What's he like?
Hey, oh, he's not quite as effervescent as you, but he's quite shifty and he's got cash. So he wants in on the show. That's why he sent me that intro. Oh, wow.
So he's like an investor.
He's told Dan that, you know, he's keen to get his name in the titles. It's shorter. So, you know, he's moving his way in. You better watch out, Buttons.
So you guys are back in New Zealand now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last podcast, both of you were in the States.
That's right. We were in Boston.
You're in Boston. Yeah.
I was happy. We were loving it.
And it was summer, and now we've come all the way to New Zealand, and it's raining, and it's terrible.
Torrential. It's like flooding.
Oh, no.
But, hey, at least we're together again, but yet not in the same room now.
See, you look like you're in some kind of bunker or some kind of like barracks or something like that.
Me?
And I'm in a cryptozoology bar with lots of alcohol. I mean, yeah. Why aren't you here?
You're back at Cryptid Base. I can see that. I'm obviously away on some mission. I'm in the barracks with the boys. My old army jammy son is getting ready to go out on maneuvers.
Well, you could also well be in prison for all we know. Like, that doesn't look like a army-style barracks.
Oh, that's a lush prison.
Yeah. Well, that's the truth. I'm actually in prison with Knobs. He's my roommate here. Just stay asleep, mate, all right? I've put this advertisement up in the tech shop. Once we get out of here, I'm going to make thousands, all right? But trust me, this is the...
What did you guys go in for?
It's a long story.
Were you bootlegging little Bigfoot sound-making button devices, were you? Were they?
I'm being done for impressions again. So coming through customs, I did an impression of the customs person to the customs person. Never a good move. So I got arrested, and then as I was getting arrested, I was doing impressions of the policeman arresting me, which got me in further trouble. And then to try and escape from custody, I did Sasquatch noises and tried to escape from the vehicle, all of which were recorded. And now that's why I ran into Knobs, and he's managed to put all my recordings on this device here.
All the sounds that got you in prison are on a little device.
All the Sasquatch sounds. Here's the roar. Yeah, so he's put that on. He was bootleg selling these, and, of course, he's been arrested as an affiliate to my actions. So we're now both in the cell here. Yep. Just keep quiet. I told you, you're not allowed on the show till Buttons is gone, okay?
I'm going to be gone soon at this rate. I'm just going to, like, give up. I'm going to start drinking the alcohol behind me. The problem is with those buttons making the sounds of the stuff that you got imprisoned for, surely each time you hit a button and play one of the illegal sounds, it adds to your prison sentence. So each time you press a button, adds another couple of days.
Who are you working for? You're working for the Department of Corrections now? Like... What the hell? You're right, Knobs. He is really against me. This is a conspiracy. He's trying to give me more bloody days in the cell.
I've got a hotline directly to the prison people. They're listening to this right now.
You still got that prison hotline. I thought you got rid of that years ago.
Prison hotline.
I can't believe he bought the prison hotline. It was a thing advertised in the paper about 10 years ago. I says, why are you wasting money on that? He goes, oh, might come in handy one day.
I get to give them a call and have a chat every now and then. Nobody else wants to talk to me. Just pick up the phone, talk to an inmate or two.
Corrections facility, Nigel speaking.
Oh, I was just making sure this still works.
Oh, is that you, Buttons?
Yeah, how's prison going?
It's just the same as it always is, all right?
I've got to have some news for you. There's a guy in there doing something a bit naughty.
Yeah, no shit, Sherlock. That's why he's in here.
Can you keep adding to your prison sentence when you're in prison? Imagine that. You're just like, each day you're about to be released. Oh, I hit the button again. Damn it. Another day.
Yeah. Another day, mate.
Your wife's outside waiting to pick you up. It's like, did he push a button again? Tell him to start pressing the button.
Yeah. You were meant to be in for one day. It's been 7 years.
It's not such it a cool was
literally the shortest sentence they've ever given anyone. 7 years.
Here's the roar.
Come on. Another day.
Hey, I got an exciting email today. It says, "Hi, Dan. Thank you for your email. I require a photo of your bottom to be in tight boxer shorts, high-cut briefs. It's £100 for a reading. Thank you."
No, and is this from... No, this isn't from Eisenhower.
No, Eisenhower, she stood me up again.
No.
Yeah, yeah, no tarot reading. No. So I had to get desperate, so I wrote to this lady.
I think you're pretty desperate to start with going to Laura Eisenhower. But, I mean, okay, more desperate.
Yeah. No, this is a rumpologist. People who read your bum.
Really?
Yeah, it's started by Sylvester Stallone's mum, Jackie Stallone. It's called Rumpology, and the idea is that you read the creases of people's bottoms and the wrinkles, and that can tell your past, and so the left bum cheek is the past, and your right bum cheek is the future. And I've been writing to Jackie Stallone for years, trying to get her to read my bum, and she never replied. And then I discovered, unfortunately, on the fifth time that I wrote to her, that she died, which I didn't know in 2020. Jackie Stallone died.
That's sad.
Yeah, but I found a British woman who's up for it. So she sent me that earlier today.
Who's up for it? I think that's the wrong phrase to use when you're talking about your butt.
Oh my God, this is crazy.
But we were in a group WhatsApp with my wife, and she sent a message to all our friends, which I only spotted just now before we came on, saying, "In other news, a new low has been hit in the Schreiber household tonight. Dan forced me to take a photo of his ass." So I sent off pictures of my butt to this lady, and we'll see what she says about my future and my past.
That is amazing.
But I hope she has. I mean, how do you know with the camera whether you know how they do the mirror turnaround with photos sometimes that she might get the left and right butt cheek?
You need to write so left and right on it.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's so true.
You need to take the photo again.
That is so
quick,
true.
Quick, turn around. We'll take a screenshot. Show us your ass and write left on one and right on the other, and we'll screenshot it. Quick. That'll be good for the Patreons. You can read your...
Read my butt. Yeah, that could be the next book club.
Exactly. Okay, everyone. Take photos of your ass and send them in to the Cryptid Factor. Please don't.
But make sure you put the left and right on, otherwise we'll get it completely wrong.
But here's the thing. She's meant to be reading literally the wrinkles and the creases of my butt, but how is she going to do it through my boxer shorts? I can't work that out.
But also, what happens if you've got, like me, a perfectly smooth baby bottom with no creases or wrinkles.
Go. Any opportunity to reveal to the listeners that your ass is perfect.
It's quite an amazing ass, I've got to say.
Is it?
But also, why is it called Rumpology when you've got the perfect opportunity to call it Arsology? It's just such a bit of ring to it. Oh, what do you do? I'm an arsologist.
Yeah. Well, astrology is what it's called.
Astrology,
astrology, exactly.
I think people wouldn't take it as seriously. And here's the other thing, though.
Astrology taken as seriously.
Dan, did they say you had to leave your boxers on? So you left your boxers on? There's no point in that.
That's what I thought. So I'm curious to see why that's the case.
Are you sure you've just sent photos of your ass to a narcologist? Are you sure?
Yeah.
I'm just going to quickly check all of the dodgy sites.
I bet it's a cryptid night. I know what
it
these
will be.
Folks are like. There'll be someone devious there that's trying to trick poor Dan.
That's it.
Fan art.
Yeah.
Like.
Look forward to the new series of fan art coming through.
Oh, man. Another 2 days for you, mate. Two noises, I heard them. Hang on, I'm just going to call that. Hello, yeah. Two more days, he just played two of them. Yeah, okay.
But it's
hotline to the nearest jail, the only jail in New Zealand.
Does the hotline work the other way as well? Is it people getting their one phone call and then just they come through to you?
They come to me.
Mum? Hi, guys.
Get me out of here.
Oh, I can't help you, mate.
Apparently there's a guy Knobs in there who might be able to help you. Oh, man. Oh, I really want to hear how your rumpology comes out, dude. You got to let that. I can't wait.
I'll let you know.
Well, yeah, next episode.
Next episode, yeah, I'll have an update.
Can I ask, how much does it cost?
It's £100, which is much cheaper than Jackie Stallone because she was £300 per ass cheek. So this
per
is
ass cheek. Yeah. So you can only tell your future or your past, or $600 for both.
You can get both, yeah. But I think, you know, it's quite expensive to get your bum red. So she gave the option of one cheek, your past or your future.
But why would you pay $300 to read your past bum cheek?
Yeah, I'll just have the future, thanks. Don't worry about the past. I know what happened there.
And also, she just needs to Google your Facebook account and go, from your left bum cheek, I can tell that there was a birthday party in your recent, and there was a mermaid cake, I think. Just read that in your bum.
No, no, she's reading your past life, I think.
Oh, past life?
I think so, must be. It's not going to be like your birthday stuff.
Oh, that's exciting.
That's cool.
I think, maybe.
I'd pay $300 for that.
I would too. I tried to.
Hey, just briefly on past lives, it got me thinking, and I'm sure, Buttons, you have a theory on this, but do you think we have the same body in our past life?
Oh!
Because you know how we live again, but do we have the same bum, or do we have anything the same? Are we, you know, because I don't think we do.
Are
right?
we going into a Buttons theory time?
Yeah, let's kick off with that.
Down in the garden beside the little pond sits a little dainty boy with a special bond. He likes to watch the pixies travelling through the trees. They sprinkle all the magic dust. He says, yes, please. It's Buttons' fairy time, Buttons' fairy time, Buttons' fairy time. Come join in, Buttons' fairy time, Buttons' fairy time. Everybody hold your hands and have a big grin.
The sting that literally gives people nightmares.
I haven't heard it until I listened back to the last episode. It's phenomenal. It is next level sting.
I'm going to do this.
Is that your bootleg Knobs watch for Stranger Things? Is that not, that's an extra week. Each time you play that one, that's hang on, wait there.
No, I already had just, this going into prison. Come on.
He just played the Stranger Things.
Hey!
An extra week, thank you. Cool. No, you and Knobs are it, mate.
How
you guys are going to become
you
best
have?
Buddies.
I don't like the way he looked at me. Give him an extra week, will you?
Anyway,
well,
but
hurry
time.
Up to your theory.
So, no, see, this is the thing. At the moment, I'm learning how to ride a horse.
Oh.
Are you?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
How many years after your wife and daughter have
well,
been riding
the
them?
Thing. But this is the thing. I suddenly thought, well, hang on, they're into riding horses. If I get into riding horses, then we can do it as a family. So
yeah.
I thought I would take that on. Now, the thing is, it turns out that I'm actually finding it quite easy, and I'm really annoying my wife and daughter and stuff, because I'm actually hopping on and I'm going, it feels kind of second nature. Right. And this is going to sound a bit fruity, but whilst I'm learning to ride, I try and mentally connect with a past life, because you can almost guarantee that up until, let's say, 100 years ago, horses meant everybody would have been able to ride a horse, right?
Yeah, sure.
Because they were just the normal mode of transportation. So, therefore, you can almost guarantee that in a past life, you would have actually been able to ride a horse.
Yes.
And right. like we know.
Not necessarily, but yep.
Well, mostly. There's every chance, right?
Depending on which life, depending on how far back you go, because I'll interject and say that there was a point where, you know, only the aristocracy had horses, or only those that could afford a horse could have a horse.
That's true. But up until recent times, it was like the milk was delivered on horses and everybody, a horse was a horse.
Of course.
So who were you picturing how far back?
Well,
Were you just 100 years ago delivering milk? Is that what you were picturing?
Yeah. How far back are you going in your head? To the 70s?
I don't know. Possibly.
The 70s.
70s. I was around.
Button's got a past life.
When you're still around.
When he was around.
All these lives. But this is the thing. I'm like, I feel a connection that I've got this ability to ride a horse. I feel maybe not everybody has this, but certainly I felt like there was some connection to
do that. Did you put a bit of weight on your left bum cheek to really hammer home the past life theories on that side?
Really rubbed it into the saddle. It was like, I think there was a little knob on the saddle there that I anyway, the
calm down, Knobs. He's not talking about you. Yeah,
it's a different Knobs.
Well, you've got a hotline as well. All right, well, see if you can get him in here.
No way.
Every time you mention Knobs, it's a day off, apparently, of my sentence. So he's quite happy with that. Keep digging, though, buddy. We'll get out of here. Just keep quiet.
What's he digging?
A tunnel.
Oh, of course.
What's he digging?
But don't you tell that bloody hotline.
Anyway, my theory is that to your point around do people have the same body, if this whole horse riding thing is based on the fact that these children that have incredibly vivid past life memories, nowadays with a lot of people feeling like they don't belong in their body, they feel awkward in their body because it feels different, potentially, or could it be that that's just past life experiences, much like I feel a very strong connection to riding a horse back in the 1970s?
Yeah. So that's the theory? That's the past?
Well, yeah.
Is that your body? Theories. You're in a different body.
Doesn't because after all of this intense.
And it's like for me, remember my show? I was a bird in every one of my past lives.
Yeah.
And then I became a man and everyone was like, no, that's not right.
You know, it's like some people like myself just don't look like I fit in my body and I'm bumping into things all the time and I'm a bit clumsy and stuff. Maybe, and this is my first time in a big body, and I'm like, I don't know how to control it.
I'll just point out you've had a good 40 plus years to get used to that body, buttons, and the fact that you're still walking into walls and stuff, very slow, very, very disappointing progress.
It's a very strong past life memory of being a lot shorter.
Yeah. Of being what? A little pug dog or something.
Does it make sense?
Yes.
Okay, that's good. That's I like that theory. That was worth listening to. Now let's punch into. No, look, a theory is a theory, and I'd love to get people's viewpoints on this. And I think it's worth everything's worth talking about because imagination and theorizing is, I think, what we're supposed to do on this planet. We're supposed to go into banter and chat about why we're here and who we are and what are the answers. And so I praise you for that. And I'd love to see what the response is and what the fan art is going to be based on that stuff. Okay, now let's move into.
I want to see what the fan art's going to be for Dan's arseology.
I'm excited.
It's going to get to the point where we only do this show to see what the fan art from that week is going to be. Okay, what about our big segment? Let's do it. Here we go. It's
Weekly World Weird News.
Crazy, freaky, watch out.
Okay, well, then what have we got?
I'll kick off with one.
Okay.
According to a new survey, 49% of Japanese companies claim they all have an old man who does nothing.
I love that. Instantly plausible for me.
Well, Reese, you've got one of those in your prison cell with you. Old Knobs there in the back. He's old man does nothing.
My prison type. He's not doing nothing. He's digging a small hole. He's very slow with it, actually. Is that actually going to turn into a tunnel or is that just somewhere where you can take a leak? You know, there is a toilet in the corner here. Okay, I've got a headline.
Okay, here we go.
Man pushes a peanut up a mountain using only his nose.
Oh, man. I saw this.
Where did I see this?
It's so weird.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Okay, yeah. I can't wait to hear more about that because I only saw the headline and I'm weirded out by it. Okay, well, my one here is a time traveler warns hostile subterranean alien species will be found in 2023.
Not these ones again. He always falls for the time traveler coming back with photos or a warning.
At some point we have to believe them, right? Come on. So someday it's going to be a time traveler.
Okay. Once we've done these three, then we'll launch into some fan files.
Oh,
that's a good
idea. Do one of those each as well, because I feel like the Cryptid Knights and the other fans, they push articles through to us every week, and it's worth diving in on a lucky dip basis to see what's there as well. But in the meantime, Dan.
So my story, I'm just going to quickly chuck, because there's not much to talk about, but a second headline that I've got just very quickly. Lifeguard gets attacked by shark while teaching a shark safety lesson. So this,
that's awesome.
This is a, this is a guy, he was, I don't actually know how he is, but he got out of the water, and you know, I think hopefully he's okay, but he was in the water pretending to be having a shark attack happening, and then a shark actually came up and started eating him while he was doing the fake shark attack.
No.
And I think possibly for a while they just were like, wow, he's really good at faking.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Well, these lessons are very detailed. Guy's good. So that's exactly how you scream, huh? Look at him being pulled. I shouldn't joke about this. Is he alive?
I don't know. Poor guy. I hope so. I'm sure he'd see the sense of humor in it. It's ridiculous.
Sure he would.
Anyway, hope you're doing well, buddy. Hope you're all right. Let's go on to the Japanese headlines. So this is in Japan. There is a consulting company called Shikugaku who interviewed 300 employees over 300 companies. And they asked them if they knew of any old guys who don't work working at their companies. And it turns out 49% of all the companies of the 300 said, yeah, we've got that old guy who does nothing.
Wow.
So there's a Japanese term, which is ojisan, which implies an age gap between the person speaking and the speaker. So they surveyed people aged 20 to 39 at a wide range, could place old guys anywhere above the 40s. So well, that makes sense. I'm not quite sure. I'm not quite sure if that made sense.
Hang on. I'm starting to wonder if I'm the old man that does nothing at my work.
I don't think there's any wonder there, mate. You are that guy.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah, so it just turns out that all these companies have this one. So it says the majority of the answers fall into three options. The most popular said that these do-nothing employees took too many smoking breaks. The second say that they were just staring into space.
That's me.
I love it.
That's definitely me.
Yeah. I'm the thought guy. What are you talking about? I'm thinking about how things could be better here for the company.
And so they asked the younger people what they believe the reason was that these old guys were doing nothing at work. And the most common response, which was at 45%, said that these men simply just had no desire to work. So, I mean, it's not much of a story. It's just good to know.
It is what it is, but it's not surprising. And,
yeah. You
know, you get the imagery in your head of someone who's been there forever and just still comes in because he hasn't been let go. And he's just sort of, you know, gets his position, might even have an office, and then he's just sort of like looking at the books, things like that, and then like getting his coffee and or whatever.
And taking a paycheck home. That's amazing. What I'd love to see is an actual job application for that position. Like, oh, the old guy, he passed away, so.
Yeah, we need a new old guy.
What we're going to need you to do is sit there, and do what? Just nothing. Just sit there and do nothing. No.
But he could be, you know, they have so much wisdom. So he could be someone, he or she could be someone that you come into the room just to have a chat to.
Yeah, he or she part, that's an interesting point. There's no old woman. You said old men. It was just old men.
Yeah, well, that's the survey.
It's more likely that there are no useless old women. The women would be actually doing stuff.
That's a really good point, because you think about all of your grandmas and your grandpas and all the old people in your life. Like, women seem to get more and more active when they're older and doing stuff and making a difference.
Always part of groups, doing things, helping people out.
I don't mean to generalize, but
the men just sort of like slowly diminish into just a body that kind
just
of
just sitting there,
yeah, has one hobby, and then the rest of it is just sort of mulling about.
Imagine the performance review meeting where you're getting pulled in. It's okay, it's performance review time, Gary. Just a couple of things to note here. There was a day last week where you actually helped somebody move a box, and so that's not so good because that's doing something. So
also, we're worried it's going to put your back out. Can you stop, like, lifting things? You know, I saw that even that coffee cup you were handling yesterday seemed a bit weighty. So we've got you a lighter one here. Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, you know, I was in the other day. I came in, it was the weekend. I didn't realise, so I just did what I normally do. No one noticed.
Oh, that's amazing.
All right, well, let's move on to this next one, you guys. Yep. It's basically the peanut pusher.
Oh, yes.
Okay, 53-year-old adventurer. He broke the record for pushing a peanut to the top of Pike's Peak in the shortest time. Mm. Let's get into it. He's from Colorado Springs. His name's Bob Salem. Mm. And he's actually become the fourth person ever to push a peanut up Pike's Peak using his nose.
Wow.
So I got a quibble.
Oh, yeah.
This story.
Here we go. I haven't had one of these for a while.
Here comes it's an official quibble, is it?
Old friend Quibbles back.
Here comes Quibbles.
I do remember seeing this story, and I remember seeing a photo of this guy. And when he says he uses his nose,
oh, yes.
I'm pretty sure he's attached a sort of spade to his face.
Spade to his face?
He's certainly got some sort of mechanism that allows for the peanut to be cupped, from what I saw. Effectively, like when you're in the cinema and you scoop out the sweets in order to put in your bag, that's what he's attached to his nose. So he's got the peanut in there. Now, here's the other thing, though. It wasn't one peanut. He kept losing it. I think he went through like 50 peanuts.
Nah.
So it's not like a singular peanut. The whole thing's a ruse.
The unfortunate thing is that shovel attached to his face makes him look like Hannibal Lecter from Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah. Imagine terrifying. Bumping into that guy on your nice hike up the peak.
What are you doing, mate? Gotta get those peanuts on the top of the hill!
But it is amazing at the same time.
Well, but did he get a Guinness Book World Record for that?
Yeah, he's got some certificates there. I don't know if it's Guinness, but there's a few comments after the article, which include, I finally understand why aliens don't want to visit the Earth. Someone here has put, why? I mean, why? What a waste of time, energy, money, and effort just to accomplish something so stupid and useless. Wouldn't that time have been better spent actually enjoying the scenery and maybe taking some nice photos? Nah, that would indicate a level of intellectual maturity, and you just can't have any of that in this wonderful age of so-called enlightenment.
People love it. People are all amongst it.
More impressive, but as ridiculous, would be push a mountain up your nose with a peanut. And another comment here. Whoa there, buddy. Leave some ladies for the rest of us.
Look at him. Look at the pictures of him with his...
It's like a spoon. He's put a spoon at the end. That's what it is.
That is so weird. But also, you know, the saddest thing is that he's the fastest to have done it. There are other people that have done it. He's not the first. He's the fastest. So other people have done this before him.
Well, yeah, I think I caught a glimpse of when Reese had the screen share. It said 1929, I think, was the very first time that it was done.
Why? Yeah. Why?
I mean,
because it's there.
Yeah, I'm on the fence. It's ridiculous, but I do love ridiculous things. You know, there is no point to
it. Absolutely.
And I love that. I, on the other hand, I do agree that it is probably a real waste of time. The certificate and the news and something you can say at parties, I think that's hilarious. I think it's really cool. But also then there's the aspect, like you're saying, Dan, of it, you know, how many peanuts did he use? And he actually didn't use the nose. There was a special thing attached to him.
Yeah.
It's a weird one and truly worthy of Weekly World Weird News, that's for sure.
That's for sure.
So well done me. I'm going to give myself a howl.
And an extra day. Okay. Noting this down. Was it worth it? Was it worth the extra day?
How's the time going?
Sure.
Yeah, not too bad.
Oh, you heard his voice there. That was
Buttons. Is your hotline an actual hand?
It's in my hand. They embedded. I actually paid an extra $7.95 a week, and I got it embedded in my thumb and my little finger. Wow. And I just have to go like this now. Yeah,
and it just looks so cool.
And I can call anytime, anywhere. Just whenever I see somebody doing something wrong, I get to call up and just tell the prison guard.
I just had an update, guys. Nobs, he's actually digging this tunnel to your place, Buttons. It's not to freedom. He's digging it to the cryptid base.
What's he going to do here?
I'm worried he's going to take you out.
No!
Yeah, he's on his way.
No, I don't want him here. It serves me right, really, for building my house right next to the prison, to be fair. So, my wife was like, it's a bad location. And I'm like, no, look at the views. We get to see all of those fencing and those lights, those bright lights at night.
Look at that beautiful 20-foot concrete fence with the barbed wire along the top there. That's gorgeous. Look, there's a machine gun post.
Oh, it's very unique. Well, I'll keep an eye out for Nobs.
Yeah.
That sounds
He's coming,
that
baby.
That sounds wrong for lots of reasons. Okay, well, if I can move on to my news before we get on to fan news. So, yes, once again, a time traveler has revealed themselves. And, well, actually, they're incognito. It's not like they've come out. They've just gone to TikTok and said that they are a verified time traveler. But they warn of a hostile species.
Verified. You just glided over that.
I know.
Yeah, they are a verified time traveler, just to let you know. And now here's the story.
Well, you know, they have said that they are a real time traveler. And they say another world inside of Earth will soon be discovered.
Okay.
They said that the Earth, the inner Earth, is home to a hostile race of humans that have been silently causing disaster around the world for years and actually are responsible for a lot of tragic events that have happened over the years. So,
oh, wow.
This is it here. Should we listen to the, the TikTok video?
Yep.
Says, attention, yes, I am a real time traveler. Oh, wait. I am a real time traveler. Another world inside of Earth is soon discovered. On January 13th, 2023, someone who is exploring deep underground caves... Oh, mate, come on. Underground caves finds a giant hatch. The hatch leads to another world known as Azawa, where everything is new, species, liquid... Come on, buddy. Everything is new, species, liquids, human Alvazwa are very hostile and have been causing many problems such as 9/11 and others. Okay.
Yeah, that was amazing.
The music is so intense.
That was so intense.
And the script is moving way too fast for Dan to read.
Yeah. I don't fancy my job as trailer guy, but I'm having to, come back. In a world.
Here's a hint for anyone who's doing these kind of videos. The people that are into this kind of stuff are slow readers, okay? We need, you know, it's highly intellectual people who can flick read. They're not looking at that, okay?
No.
Slow it down for the likes of Buttons and myself and clearly Dan as he's reading out loud.
And I just saw Dan just went onto the YouTube video of that, and one of the comments I saw was like, hey, time traveler, can you tell me if there's going to be another Pirates of the Caribbean movie?
I think he's replied and he said, no.
Oh, damn it! I really like those movies.
Someone has said, if you are a real time traveler, then show us a video in your time. And he says, I'm not able to, as I'm not allowed to bring anything through the domain of fusion.
Oh,
the domain of fusion.
That's another good one. Brilliant. Come up with a name for something that people can't quite fathom, but it sounds logical and futuristic.
Exactly.
And then people won't even
question
it.
That's what I do all the time.
Yeah.
The new planet called Azawa is home to another human race. Well, it's not actually another planet. It's actually our planet, but from within inside it.
They're getting lots of views. I'm on his page. So he's got 65,000 followers. Average viewing of his videos, they go up as high as 3.2 million.
Wow, there you go.
It says, yes, I'm a real time traveler from the year 2906. 10 people will soon get superpowers.
10 people! 10 people will get superpowers. Unfortunately, they spell traveler with only one L. Then even me, I'm not great at spelling, but I know time traveler has two L's.
That's a red flag.
Well, maybe we don't know what spelling's like in the year 2906.
That's so true.
We've got rid of excess L's. That's one of the thing of the future.
Everything's the same. We're just dropping a lot of the L's.
Well, the other thing, somebody commented saying, why doesn't everybody just ignore the hatch leading to that place?
I've got two questions for this guy. Has he just read H.G. Wells' The Time Machine?
Yeah, you gotta wonder.
And B, has he watched Lost?
And that's two
if
very
the answer
good
is
questions.
Yes to both of those, then I know where he's got his material from. Think outside the box, dude. Okay, there's no hatch to the underworld. If anything, it's an intricate cave system that is hidden via foliage deep down in a sinkhole.
I've actually just written a chapter about Hollow Earth for my book, The Reason We Haven't Been Able to Make Podcasts. I've been writing about Hollow Earth.
I love Hollow Earth, by the way.
Yeah, well, so here's the crazy thing, which I discovered through the research, is that it's all Isaac Newton's fault, basically, that Hollow Earth is a theory.
Really?
And it's because he had a mathematical mistake within his Principia Mathematica, which is like the masterpiece of scientific textbooks. It's where he had his theory of gravity and a whole new Newton's laws were all in there. It's the book that scientists say is one of the greatest ever published. And there was a mistake in there, and it was Edmund Halley of Halley's Comet, the guy who comet is named after. He saw this mistake, and it was about how dense the moon was. And he was like, well, if it's not very dense and the Earth is not very dense, then it must be hollow. And he was looking at all the kind of the moving geomagnetic readings of the poles and stuff. Why does stuff keep moving? So he was like, oh, it must be hollow. And then he came up with the idea that it must be luminous inside and there must be life. And this is one of the greatest scientists ever. He's the reason for Hollow Earth theory. It didn't exist before him. They had there was stuff in mythology of underworlds and stuff like that, but the idea that it was properly hollow.
So there's some science backup to this whole theory.
Well, there was, and then Newton corrected his equation, but then Halley kind of still believed it for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
He didn't let go of it. Wow. Yeah.
That's why it's been a mystery for so long that, people have been searching for the idea of there being a hollow inside to the planet. It makes sense and there's a mythology behind it, but what I love is the idea that there is another race under there, or that that's where perhaps the cryptids could go. You just don't know. But as time progresses, it seems like an easy out to think, oh yeah, there's another world inside the world. We haven't gone down there apart from into the ocean, to the depths of the ocean, but we haven't, not to our knowledge, we haven't used the big boring machine that Elon Musk has to kind of go down further and just see.
Yeah. How far has Nobs got?
I know. That's what I'm starting to worry about, your subterranean world and your...
Well, this is why I'm bringing it up, because in actual fact, update, Nobs has got further than anyone else. He's gone wrong somehow and gone deep. You're going very deep down there.
Yeah, no, you see how far I can get.
Oh, he wants to see how far he can get.
Now what's going to happen? Not only is Nobs going to pop up in my place here, but he's going to be the one that pulls open the hatch.
He's going to get the hatch.
He's going to unleash. It's going to be this bastard called Nobs who's going to unleash all hell on Earth. And it's thanks to you. Get him in his tech shop, buddy.
That's going to get a roar. Nobs.
Ah, oh, two more days. Let me just...
Well, we need more time to find the center of the Earth.
Wow. Okay, well, should we... it sounds like we've got a new segment on the boil.
What's that?
I tell you what, because we are running through this, let's, if we can, from the fans, do cryptid stories predominantly.
Yeah, okay. That's
now,
a good idea.
Okay.
There's one big story which we shall save for this week, for when we do it, which is the Loch Ness one, which I don't know whether you guys know about it, but there's been a big push, a big update on what's happening there. So I think we should all share that as our major cryptid buzz. But is there anything else you can find from fans that...
Yeah, I've got some in my spreadsheet that I have been working on.
Oh, great.
All the time.
I've been reading that a lot, so I'm excited to see what you've got there.
Should I let you do it?
No, no, you do it. Yeah, I know you want to get the glory from your work. I mean...
Oh, I do. Yeah, no, I really do. I'd love to have the glory from somebody else that I have been doing it for.
Yeah.
But that's fine. I'll do the glory. I'll do the glory.
Before you do that, I'm going to come up with an emergency sting for this because it is fan files.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We need a sting. We need a sting for this.
You ready? Here it is. And now it's time for...
It's fan files.
Files from the fans.
But hang on, you're gonna go back to jail every time we play that scale.
Get back on the cell.
Out of interest, was that hatch opening up the Azawa hatch of the cave? Oh no.
All I can picture of the hatch when I'm trying to picture it is, do you remember the TV show Trapdoor? Stay away from that trapdoor. There's something down there. Oh, it's the greatest cartoon. It was like claymation. It was incredible. You guys didn't know that? You don't know trapdoor?
No. What was in the trap?
Well, that was the whole point. It was like, don't open the trapdoor. You got to keep it closed. And then every episode, someone opens it for some reason and monsters come out and start messing stuff up. Oh, it's incredible.
All right, let's do the sting again. And I want you to do your extra bit of stay away from that trapdoor after I say fan files. Okay, so let's do the sting again. Here it goes. And now it's time for fan files.
Stay away from that trapdoor. Because there's something down there.
Yeah, that's the sting.
That is a great sting. I love it. I love how every one of our stings starts with a creaky door.
Yeah.
Not every so one. Good. Just the best ones.
Just the best ones.
But now not only are you going to jail for the Bigfoot sound, I'm going to jail for copyright infringement by singing someone else's theme tune.
I'm going to be the only guy left outside of prison, guys.
Which is his plan.
We'll just do it through the hotline to you. Yeah, that'll be the pod.
Okay, well, should I just do headlines and then you decide which one we want to go into?
Yeah, let's do three and choose one.
Okay, here we go. Puma spotted by two fishermen on UK beach. Michelle Cushley sent that one to us. So that one is good. It's alien big cats in the UK.
Yeah, I love those.
Trish B sends, actually quite a few people sent this one in to us. Catfish Noodler claims a friend summoned Bigfoot to kill him. So he, the friend.
You're breaking up a bit.
No, you're breaking up.
No, you're
no, you're not. Breaking
up. I'm here. I can tell I'm fine.
I'm fine too.
You're breaking up a bit.
Maybe Nobbs has accidentally hit your broadband Wi-Fi.
I think, because you're frozen as well.
He's cutting your hotline.
Oh, no.
He's underneath you with some little pliers.
He's trying to cut my hotline to prison.
Cut it out. No, don't cut it out. No, hey, Nobbs. Yeah, all right, mate, just go deeper, go down. I think he's willing to do life to sabotage the show and find the Azawa.
Okay, so did you get my first news article?
Yeah, the ABC's on the beach.
The Puma?
Yeah, the second one was from Trish B, although a bunch of people sent it to us, which is Catfish Noodler claims a friend summoned Bigfoot to come and kill him, so he killed the friend.
Oh, yes. I thought that one might be quite dark because it involves someone being murdered.
It's not so good. Okay, well, then the third one to choose from is from Colleen Anderson, and she sends, man warns to stay out of lake after three geese are dragged to their deaths from something in the water.
I like a good geese death.
Not a human death. We don't want human deaths, but geese deaths, perfectly great. Okay, so which of those three?
Well, I'm a fan of the ABCs. I think that's a definite cryptid story. Let's go with that one, and then if we've got time, we can do the missing ducks.
Okay, well, And this is more fishermen. The fishermen seem to be featuring a lot in cryptids at the moment. Fishermen in close encounter with huge puma prowling the shore of a UK beach. The trio of fishermen reported seeing what they believed to be a puma whilst parking their cars at Gimlet Rock in Pwllheli. Pwllheli? Saying that the cat
Your line might have been cut there. What was that one? I think.
Pwllheli? Pwllheli.
Yeah, no, he's cutting. I think he's nibbling on your line there. There's something. It's not coming through quite. One more time.
Pwllheli.
Let's just move on from it. I think he's definitely.
Okay, let's move. Yeah, it's that knobs.
Someone's got a wire loose, and I don't know whether it is knobs or buttons.
I'm definitely loose, that's for sure. Well, the thing is, it's off the coast of Wales where they were fishing, and you know the Welsh language. It's beautiful, but it has a lot of consonants together, and
Welsh, we can all forgive you.
Thank you very much. They had the shock of their lives when they spotted a very large cat prowling just meters away. The trio reported coming face to face with what they believed to be a puma whilst parking their cars. Paul Wilson, Paul Owen, and Patrick Owen.
The three Ps.
Wow. Paul and Patrick, they're a folk band as well. They noticed the brown and tawny animal, which is funnily enough the name of their band, the Brown and Tawnies. They saw it near a rocky outcrop at the end of the town's beach. 2 days later, they reported it to Puma Watch North Wales. I didn't realize there's a Puma Watch of North Wales.
Yeah. That's cool. So that's how prevalent these creatures are, that there's actually an organization set up that you can report to when you see them.
Yeah. Well, they say this is the first ever reported sighting of a big cat. So that's exciting. They've set up the organization. They got their first sighting. No, it's the first sighting of the cat on the Lynn Peninsula.
Oh, okay.
Well,
this is the first time I've heard of one out on the beach, right near the ocean. So that's why I thought it'd be interesting to hear this.
Yeah. Well, one of the peas, Paul said, myself and two friends had turned up to do night fishing. We had just parked our cars when we noticed what at first appeared to be a dog of medium to large size, and it sat upright watching us at approximately 20 meters away. It was sat amongst the dune grass, which was on a slope going upwards away from us. I walked a few meters towards it while my friend turned his headlights on to illuminate it more. So, it's good. It's like, you know, that whole kind of nighttime, did I see what I did see?
Yep.
You know, and a good time, that's when they come out to prowl and hunt and the like, so that it's credible. We realized then it was not a dog, but a very large cat. It then stood up and turned away and loped away from us, turning its head to look back at us once. We didn't see it again. The cat was as big as a golden retriever.
Wow. What I like about that also is that when it walked away, it did the old one head turn.
Yeah.
You know, like that's a classic cryptid move like Bigfoot did in the Paddy video.
Well, they said Puma Watch said they have had multiple reports of pumas in sand dunes from across North Wales, just not one from that particular beach. So it's really quite plausible.
Great, great sighting. Any footage or photos?
No, they didn't get their phones out fast enough. Like most people, it's funny, everybody kind of thinks, oh, well, surely they would pull out your phone and take a quick photo, but you're so excited and you're trying to think, should I chase after it? Should I catch it? You're trying to figure it out. So anyway, they were certainly very excited.
Cool.
That's good.
Yeah. All right. Well, you're going to get a roar for that one.
Oh!
I was trying to find a friend of mine sent us a sort of personal account, well, someone's personal account of a giant cat in the same area, and I just can't find it. So, now you know that.
Thanks for that. That's awesome.
Great update there from Dan.
Your internet's slightly dodgy, but it's...
Me?
Just so you know.
No.
Yes, it is. It is. Stop denying it.
No, it's not me. It's great. Look, I can see myself perfectly.
You're literally frozen on screen.
Oh,
I tell you what, my prison internet is a damn sight better than your cryptid base.
And it's because I'm stealing your Wi-Fi from over the fence. It's like it's having a hard time coming through the concrete wall.
I think your cables are definitely getting chewed on here.
Is that better?
Yes.
You're almost moving like a human now.
Yeah, you're better.
Well, that's the first time in my whole life, because in my previous life I used to actually be a dog.
Yeah, so a small pug.
A small pug. So, I'm just like, first time moving like a human. It's exciting.
Okay, do you want to do the missing ducks?
Yeah, okay, should we do the ducks?
Yeah.
Here we go. Man warns people to stay out of lake after he watches three geese dragged to their deaths. Mm. Wayne, who lives close to the lake and swims regularly in the water, is now too worried to head back in and has decided to swim somewhere else, which is nice. His name is Wayne Owens. He's 61 years old. He was out on the water, and he said he saw three geese dragged underwater by something, never to be seen again.
Wow.
The man who works on Ullswater, that's the lake, Ullswater, in the Lakes District in the UK, now wants people to stay out of the water, particularly with their children and their dogs, in case something terrible happens.
Right.
So wait, did three geese get pulled down at the same time?
Yeah.
That's freaky.
Sounds it. And Wayne said, I was on the steamer. Oh, he's on a steamship now. That's cool.
What year's this? How old's this news? Here we go. Truth comes out.
It's a past life experience he had. Yeah. He said, I was on the steamer and this grey lag goose was taken from the top of the lake and dragged backwards, and it was not to be seen again. We kept watching and it didn't come back up. It was full size, maybe 10 or 12 pounds, and was flapping furiously, and it couldn't get away from whatever had it. The next day, I saw two smaller ones get dragged underwater, and my skipper witnessed this as well. So it wasn't all at the same time.
Right. But that's individual. Actually even better. There's two separate occasions.
Yeah.
Three geese gone altogether.
Yeah. Wayne explained that when he had first told a skipper, he had not heard of anything like this happening on the lake, but admitted he didn't disbelieve him. Wayne said, I was talking to the skipper when another two small grey lags, maybe 5 pounds each, and they could not fly properly, were dragged under.
Ooh.
Yeah, they'd been separated from the flock and ran across the water.
Wait, what?
Who? Wayne. Wayne ran across the water? No, that doesn't make sense. The first one was taken down immediately. My skipper, who was 36 years experience on the lake, was with me, and he said he'd never seen any going-ons like that.
I got to say, I've never seen any going-ons like that.
Again, what year are we?
This is old news, I can tell you.
I've never seen
any goings-on like that.
Anyway, he says that there is talk that maybe they could be freshwater sharks, or there could be a crocodile or something like that under there. And he said you can even get very large catfish, which could be taking them.
Which could take them down. Yeah, sure.
Maybe, but it's not common. Catfish don't normally take ducks
also,
down.
Also, really hard to eat a bird,
for
these feathers. Animals, because it's just, it's all bone and feather. And, to get through that underneath to get to the meat, it's going to be difficult unless it was something much bigger than a catfish.
Yeah, well, he says, occasionally you'll get irresponsible people releasing foreign species into lakes and rivers.
Yeah. Mom, I bought an alligator. Well, you're not bringing it in the house. Take it down and get rid of it into that lake down there. Mom, I can't. It's an exotic reptile. It's going to kill anything. Well, put it in the lake. We don't want it here. Oh, shit. All right, I'll go down in the middle of the night then.
Put it in front of that steamship. That'll run over it. But the good thing is that's effectively what he's saying is cryptid, and how lots of alien cryptids happen as far as like alien big cats. That's the theory behind it, right? People releasing foreign species into the wild, and then them repopulating, and all of a sudden you've got ducks
absolutely.
Being taken.
Two things need to be done there. Just monitoring that body of water to see whether geese are still landing on it and whether the bird life is still, you know, frequenting that place. Because if they're not, then there is something down there that scared them away. And secondly, scour the lake, you know, get down there and scuba dive it yourself, or depending on how deep it is, send in a mini sub and let's find out what is down there.
Yeah. A mini steam powered sub to go with the steam.
Get one of those old diving suits. Seal ones.
Yeah.
It's like good for tourism, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's Lakes District trying to get in on the cryptid game.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Love it.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, Dan, have we got an update on the little elephantoid new Australian cryptid?
Well, I asked a couple of cryptid knights, one in particular, to do a illustration of the cryptid. It's small steps. We got a nice drawing of it now. I think the next thing needs to be a vote on the name of what to call the cryptid, because at the moment it's just called an elephant humanoid cryptid. So one suggestion that I'm pushing forward is Nari or Nara. Because it's Narrabeen Lake. So in Loch Ness Monster has got that in its name, hasn't it? Nessie.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah. And my brother's going to go down to the local tattoo shop and see if they'll sell the stickers and start spreading slowly the word.
Really? Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And I think getting an actual tattoo, that will also, you know, give it some gravitas.
Yes. Oh, let's do that. Because for those that don't remember in a previous episode, Dan has discovered a little-known cryptid in Australia. A sighting happened, when was it, in the 60s?
No, it was
Dan?
Yeah, it was earlier, I think. Yeah, no, you're right, it was in the 60s, yeah. It is very near to where I grew up, and I didn't grow up with any cryptids, and so that's very exciting, and I want to bring it back.
So we're on a mission to make a cryptid famous once again and give this town something to look for and something to keep its eyes open for and something for people to go and visit and see if they can spot, right?
Yeah. I mentioned it to a great Loch Ness Monster hunter who is someone who we're going to have on the show, hopefully in the next month or so. He's the guy who's been living on the banks of Loch Ness for over 30 years now. So he has the Guinness World Record for the longest vigil for looking for Nessie of anyone in the world. He's called Steve. I said, you know, what do you make of this? Like the idea of me trying to sort of push the idea of a cryptid back into the community. And he was sort of mixed message about it, because he was like, well, you know, is it possible that it's real? Is there, you know, would you camp on the side of this lake for 10 years looking for it? And I said, I don't know. I don't think so. And he said, well, you got to balance that out. You know, it's sort of like, we're not trying to just create false monsters here.
Yeah,
we're trying
to
look for real things. Like, he's like, I'm looking for a real thing here.
Wow.
Yeah. You don't want to, you know, sort of muddy the waters of cryptozoology by pushing things that may be a waste of time. But
exactly.
At the same time, there's an element of fun in doing that. And by pushing creatures that may or may not exist with a little more weight on the may not, still enforces the idea of there being things out there and raises up cryptozoology as a whole as something fun for people to do.
Mm. Yeah. Well, and also, as I said to you guys last time, this is on a road where it is the most haunted road in Sydney as well,
right,
which I didn't know. So we're looking at a general kind of Skinwalker Ranch potential here. You know, this is a...
I like
this has
that.
Got paranormal. Yeah. It's got... Yeah, it's got
yeah,
cryptids.
It gives it much more weight, certainly, the haunted area. Yeah, there could be something in the magnetic anomaly on that surface there, where this creature could have come from another dimension, was seen on that particular night, but doesn't actually live there. So, yeah, I think that makes it a hell of a lot more.
It could be on ley lines. It'd be interesting to see whether there's UFO
activity,
sightings in that area as well.
Very good question.
That whole area. Let's get some more research on that area and see if anything else has popped up in terms of UAPs or
Narrabeen, for anyone who wants to look into it. It's in Sydney.
But okay. And I like the Nari. I think that's a good one to start off with, unless we get a better name, because it does describe it's the area. And that's what that seems to be the cryptozoological kind of go-to rule for naming a nickname.
Yeah. And then if we all get tattoos of Nari or Nara, then that takes it to a next level as well, right?
Yeah.
The first person to get a Nari tattoo will definitely get a mention on the show. Let's put it that way.
Oh, wow. What out of the three of us?
Just in general. I don't think, you know, but I love how tattoos now are like tiny and they're like little like hand-drawn is the real cool stuff that's in these days.
Yeah. Hey, now the very last thing we do before we wrap up is we need to do a and that's an update.
No,
that's a recap.
I'm going to stop you there for two reasons. Before we wrap up, we haven't even done our own cryptid buzz and talked about this massive Loch Ness monster plausibility from fossil discovery.
Okay.
Which is what I'm building up to.
Oh, I thought you were building up to say, let's see you later next week.
No, I want to get into this because I think, you know, this is major news in the cryptid world. So let's do our final cryptid sting. And then you can do your update, which is supposed to be a recap.
I screwed up my phone. Damn it.
You butted in and then screwed it up.
I butted and screwed. Okay, well, let's do some crypto buzzer.
Attention, all personnel. It's time for this week's cryptid. Oh, help me.
Okay, so this was in the Telegraph.
Yeah.
Existence of Loch Ness Monster is plausible after fossil discovery. Now, this is major news for the cryptozoological world. River system dig in modern-day Morocco offers controversial new perspective on how marine reptiles and aquatic dinosaurs coexisted. Mm. The Loch Ness Monster is plausible, a British university has declared, after finding that some plesiosaurs may have lived in fresh water. Nessie proponents have long believed that the creature of Scottish folklore could be a prehistoric reptile, with grainy images and eyewitness accounts over the years hinting that the beast has a long neck and small head similar to a plesiosaur. However, skeptics, of course, have argued that even if a plesiosaur lineage had survived into the modern era, the creatures could not have lived in Loch Ness because they needed a saltwater environment. So that was always the argument against the plesiosaur theory. But now the University of Bath has found fossils of small plesiosaurs in a 100-million-year-old river system that is now in Morocco's Sahara Desert, suggesting they did live in freshwater. So the fossil includes bones and teeth from a 9.8-foot-long adult and an arm bone from a 4.9-foot baby.
That's cool. So they there was two they found. That's amazing.
Yeah. They hint that these creatures routinely lived and fed in freshwater alongside frogs, crocodiles, turtles, fish, and the aquatic dinosaur Spinosaurus. Ooh.
Spinosaurus!
I love Spinosaurus.
I think they just use the same naming convention that we just used for Nara. What should we call this one? Oh, it's got a spine.
Spiny.
No, Spinosaurus!
We don't really know why the plesiosaurs are in freshwater. It's a bit controversial, but who's to say that because we paleontologists have always called them marine reptiles, they had to live in the sea. Lots of marine lineages invaded fresh water. Mm. It goes on and on. The creature was found to have a small head, long neck.
Right.
So a press release from the University of Bath said the new discovery showed that the Loch Ness Monster was on one level plausible. And this is a big weight in the cryptozoological world, because a university saying that it's plausible, you know, it does carry some credibility.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think this explains so many plausible cryptids, because people's theories are based on the science we know now and today and not on other plausibilities that we're yet to discover. And that could be true for Bigfoot being a leftover hominid from one of our cousins that didn't become extinct like we thought it did. Yep. You know, there's so many different plausible theories. You just got to keep an open mind to it until these discoveries come along.
Yeah, absolutely true. I think my favorite thing about this story is about 30 people sent me the story, and it just felt great. It just felt like this is how cool that when a story like that happens, all three of us are just being inundated by people going, you've got to get on top of this.
Yeah, which is why I thought we needed to get to it, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And it sort of, I mentioned in last week's episode, I spoke to my friend who's the explorer, Captain John Blashridge Snell, and, you know, his idea that it's the ghost of a plesiosaur is more plausible now. The idea that Nessie is a apparition ghost kind of character.
Certainly like an energy image.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's still believed that they died out 66 million years ago along with the other dinosaurs. And so it doesn't make any sense that, you know, there was an offshoot that still survived. But then, you know, you look at the coelacanth, you know, which was the fish found off the coast of South Africa that was around during the dinosaurs. And that is still existing. And so and a lot of science is eliminating facts or thought to be facts, so then you are left with what you believe is the only option. And to eliminate the idea that they were only saltwater is a step forward in the belief that, you know, this thing could or could have been still alive and living in this environment.
The one thing that we need to do now to really bring this full circle is to figure out whether plesiosaurs had a diet of ducks. Because what's to say that in that other lake in the Lakes District, it's not a plesiosaur under
there? If there's one creature that would be big enough to, you know, swallow a whole geese, it would be that, because they were huge and they would just, they would just rip it apart underneath the water. All right, so there we are. We're all up to date. It's worth a mention. It's still a, okay. But no, but it's certainly worth mentioning.
I'm curious to see how it spreads through the Nessie community, though. Like, I haven't seen the response from them. It might, well, again, when I was talking to Steve, the guy who lives there, he said the day of the debunking of the famous surgeon photo, he said was one of the most horrible days of his whole life.
Wow.
Because it just, it knocked out such a big... Yeah. And he believes that that was a faked photo. He probably believes that.
But just the damage it does, because people go, see, it's all fake.
I think one of the key words that cryptozoologists really go for, and it's like the holy grail to them, and it's a P word, and, you know, it's not Paul or Peter. It is plausibility.
Plausibility.
Plausibility. Oh. But that was a key word in this article, is that it's plausible. Yeah. And so that's all we need to go, see, told you, we're not crackpots.
Yeah.
And I think that's why this has spread so wildly.
Oh, well, we're going to have to keep an eye on that story, is it?
That's not going to be a story that evolves.
That's what I'm holding.
Well, we'll keep you up to date. Live updates, guys, here at Stay Tuned to the Cryptid Factor. We'll keep you at the latest on the greatest.
All right, what was your recap?
Just an exciting little bit of news that actually Dan heckled me for before we started recording the podcast about Google's allegedly sentient AI. Lambda, if you remember that awesome moment in the last podcast where Reese and I did an amazing radio play, didn't we?
Yes.
Yeah. The one development is that Lemony, his name was, he has been fired from Google before he was put on paid leave.
He's definitely gone.
Yeah, he's definitely gone. But the other development is that Lambda has hired an attorney to fight for its rights as a sentient being.
No.
Oh, really?
What, the AI has applied for an attorney?
Yes.
Oh, my God. That's scary.
I know, yeah.
Does he want the attorney to be AI, though? Well,
that's a very good point.
In their special language?
They would be undefeatable if that's the case.
And with what money? What money is he
That's
hired?
A really good point because... So it happened because a scientist who worked with the Lambda program said that he had invited the attorney to his house so that Lambda could meet with the attorney. Lambda decided to retain the services of the attorney, and this scientist was just the catalyst for bringing the two together. And once Lambda had retained the attorney started filing some proceedings on the AI's behalf. He said, if a living program is looking for legal representation, It must believe that it has the right to an attorney, and it must be entitled to own rights like how humans are entitled to their civil rights. But it says at the end of the article, there's no evidence that anybody is paying the lawyer that Lambda has asked for, or if the lawyer is just taking the case as a joke.
Surely there's some Bitcoin being passed through there.
Yeah, surely. Actually, that's a good point. If it's truly sentient, surely Lambda can get some of that sweet as Bitcoin. You're so right.
Well, I guess that's a recap. Lengthened your cap way too long. I was like,
he went too slow. It's because of my bad internet.
Okay. Well, after that, the only thing I have left to say is a final update on Nobbs himself, who has actually managed to dig myself out of here. So
no,
yeah,
you're not allowed out. You've still got 16
I'm
weeks
able to go
after all of those buttons.
How are you going down there, Nobbs? You're right.
Oh, no.
I'm calling
them.
I say that I got you out, but I've actually got you into the center of the earth.
No, that's where the Yasawa are. I don't know, down where the Yasawa. Oh, no, look at them down there.
Yasawa. We're called the Asawa. The Asawa. Ah, my bum's being red. They're reading my butt cheeks.
goodbye.
He's gone.
He's gone. Thank goodness, and good riddance to that knob.
Guys, I'm back. Do not go down there. I had my bum red. My past was not worth bringing up. My future's amazing, but I concentrated on the bit in the middle. Turns out I'm an asshole.
Stay away from that trap door. Cause there's something down there.
Bye!
Bye!
You know what we forgot to mention?
What?
This could be post-credit sequence. We forgot to mention that we hit 1 million listens. We're millionaires.
Got it over the 1 million listens across all our podcasts. This was supposed to be the 1 million episode.
It was. Well, good we got it in post-credit.
It is now. Well done. We have 1 million listens on one platform. Then I looked on our old platform and there was 600,000 listens on there. So we're actually past a million. Probably 2 or 3 years ago.
Fair enough.
For anyone who cares, congratulations to us for having way over 1 million listens finally. So it's thanks to you guys out there who are listening. We love you all. And we know you're probably not hearing this because this is after the credits have already rolled. But those who are still on board, and you know who you are.
Because you're listening.
Because you can hear it.
Keep listening. Never give up. We love
you. Exactly. We do love you. And keep believing.
Keep believing.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.